welcome to the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English Amamu of TJ, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy and that you can use to grow your podcast and then in turn, your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Sure. So we want to cover this time. You've called it the five website mistakes that are costing you clients. I'm almost thinking of you could put three dots after the five website mistakes that are costing you ... fill in the blank, whatever it might be, especially when talking about podcasters, clients, whatever. If you're not doing these five things, it's costing you something. So, let's jump right into it. Izzy, unclear messaging. I think we've all run across those websites and you look at it going, I don't even know what you guys really do. Until you get to like, you click on a tab, maybe it's just not there at the very front. So talk about this unclear messaging with the way you at Rebel Marketing take a look at that.
So I think there's like two kind of types of unclear messaging. So like website, if I don't know what you do on the homepage in the first 5 seconds, you need to change something. There's that. And then two, I know that we're all passionate about what we do, but that does not mean the normal person is going to understand your type of language. And that is why they're seeking out you to help them. So like if we were to write everything that we have in our SEO package out for someone who doesn't know a lot about SEO and that's why they're coming to us, they're probably going to be like, what is all this and why do I need it? Like explain it in their terms because they don't know those terms. And there's nothing wrong with not knowing those terms, but it's just like let them have an understanding without having them have to ask what in the world that means. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense because I know I've struggled with initially what I was putting on my circle270media.com website. And I was trying to initially when I first started to avoid, I really didn't want to attract the audio editing, the video editing. But I also began to realize those are pain points that people Google to find out. And I do want to be found for that because it is part of what we do. It's not the whole thing. I was just trying to sidestep it going, I just don't want to be known for that. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that if it's on the website that you're known for that. You're just trying to answer that pain point that somebody's Googling at that moment. And you want to be one of the top five answers that Google delivers, depending on where they are. So it makes sense for the messaging of really don't get too esoteric with what you're talking about on your website. Yep. Exactly. Technically, Yasmin, we've touched upon this many, many times, and I think it is never too many times to talk about slow load times. Let's talk about how and why that happens.
Yeah. So we're recording this in 2025 and I still see really, really slow sites and people just won't wait for it to load. Or if you're like me, I will try to be nice and put you in one of my many 50 tabs on one of my many 50 browser windows and then I'll just forget about you. My computer will restart and it probably won't open any of them. So make sure there's a lot of free testers out there. Pingdom is one of them. Google has one, but you can basically put your URL in. It'll tell you how fast or slow your site is. And if it's faster or slower on mobile, sometimes they even break down whether it's a specific image that is too large, or maybe there's a lot of junk code. And it just depends on the platform you're using. All platforms have their quirks nowadays. There's no site that's really built from scratch. But all of the platforms that you can choose from will be quirky. And so some of them might have more junk code than others, even through like WordPress, depending on what theme you end up using and how it was built, it will have junk code. So there's ways of reducing that code that you might need to talk to a developer about. But there's usually, I want to say it's the images that people upload. Let's say we did a brand photo shoot for you. You took those images and you get the really high resolution images and you start uploading them to your website, that's going to slow it down. If you upload all of your videos to your site instead of something like Vimeo or YouTube and then embed that link, it might slow down your site depending on the type of video you're using. So I think keeping that in mind and checking every so often.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and you know, this goes to my next point. I'll stay with you on this, is that it's not necessarily a load time situation, but the poor mobile experience. We're accessing websites really more on our phone than anything else, depending mm-hmm. on what you want to try to get accomplished. But our first touch on a website is probably on mobile.
Yeah. So think about it this way. Like, this is what I typically do. I'll go to a networking event. Somebody will, let's say, go up onto the microphone, state their name and their business. I will immediately open up a tab on my phone and try to Google it, or just to remind myself that I need to stalk them. If your site doesn't load fast enough on my phone, I'll probably forget about you. And so think of those kinds of situations. Then if you are keeping track of where your traffic is coming from, let's say you are a restaurant, I'm going to assume that if you're a restaurant, a lot of your traffic is coming from mobile because people are hungry. They might be hopefully they're not driving, but they might be in the car. They might have kids around them. They're just trying to get lunch. They're hangry. So it would be horrible if your site was loading really, really slowly on mobile for a restaurant. For us, I've seen us get more traffic on desktop, but we are B2B. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely that somebody at midnight is going to be thinking about, you know, hopefully you're not worried about your marketing right. at midnight. If you are, please contact us. But hopefully you're just, you know, bed rotting on TikTok, ordering some midnight snack, not literally going to our website. But most of our traffic is B2B. And I would say even like if you break it down, I think most of it is during the day. And then back to Izzy's point, I wanted to say about the messaging.
Yeah.
Check your images too, because if you're saying that you are like the top level cybersecurity company, but you've got like a flip phone in the background, Yeah. That might not necessarily give the right message visually.
Right.
And then try to make sure that your brand photo shoots, that everything aligns with what you do. So for example, we are Rebel Marketing. We're not like hiker marketing. So I'm never really going to make Izzy go do a brand shoot in like a forest and full on hiking gear sweating, right? We're not going to go rock climbing. Because I'm old and fragile. So think of if you are paying for a brand shoot, think of who is my target market? Who, if it's B2B, okay, cool. Are they more women? Are they whimsical? Are they funny? And then decide the location, the backdrops, how you're going to use them on the website, and making sure that messaging is all on point. Unless Izzy wants to do a hiker marketing sort of brand shoot.
And good. she already knows the answer. So why is she going to bring it up? Exactly.
She looks so excited.
Izzy, call to actions. And I think I have always been not leery of doing call to actions, but I think it's that maybe misunderstanding that call to action. I think a lot of people put a lot more emphasis on that call to action goal, meaning, well, I have to have something free to give away. I have to do this. And it's like, but we're really not talking. I mean, we are talking about that, but we're not really talking about that. It's more, I'll let you explain, but in my mind, a call to action is like, just tell somebody where to go and make it easy to find sort of thing.
Yeah. I look at a call to action as just telling somebody to do something. So, they don't have to if they don't want to, but there's also like a way of not doing it. So like, again, it's the salesy type language where it seems like, oh, if you click here and then we could set up this and this and this. It's like, some people aren't even at that step in their process yet of like, they might just be deciding like, maybe I just wanted to learn some more information. Not everybody just wants to jump into a sales call right away because it might not be right for them. And then you're wasting your time and their time. So I think when people think call to action, it doesn't have to just be like book a call with us. Mm-hmm. It can be go check out Yasmin's LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then like give her a follow. Or it can be for us, like we have our free marketing worksheet with that comes with Yasmin explaining everything throughout it. And I feel like that's a good piece of information. We promote that all the time too. And it's just like, if you want free stuff, we'll send it to you. Here's the link to it. So I think some people are missing out on different things like that because you can still kind of gauge people's interest in just like that type of thing. Like if we saw that when I posted that Yasmin got like 10 followers, it's like, oh, who are those people? Why? Like they might be interested in something. We don't have to reach out right away, but like just monitor and see if they like stick around a little bit. Or the, how many people download the workbook? How long did they scroll down the email and different things like that? So I think a lot of people just think it's, I am doing this to complete a sale right away, but that's not always what everybody's looking at in their own head, like throughout our process. So,
right. Well, and I could see it too, that you might have two or three different call to action options on the website, but you use it differently on where you are, social media, podcast, and blog. So yeah, you could have all those options, but that doesn't mean what it means is you choose the right scenario to ask for that or to present that call to action.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would say, think of the funnel, that infamous marketing funnel and where people are coming from. And back to what Izzy said, they don't all have to be the same, but if they're in the brand awareness side of the funnel, they're going to look for something different versus if they are just, if they're ready to book a call with you or ready to buy, are they just browsing? Think of that funnel and then think of those calls to action. They don't all have to be the same to what Izzy said. And you can provide a little bit of everything for each part of that funnel.
And then finally, Yasmin, an outdated design. I know you're probably on a little bit more on the conservative side of changes on a website versus like every time, you know, every 3 years, brand new, every 3 years, brand new, but it's that refreshing your site in some fashion. Can you talk a little bit more about what your, kind of the way you guys take a look at a website design?
I mean, we will redesign your site every 6 months if you want. I mean, and as a designer, it is very hard to finish your website. Like there's always going to be something cool that you can do to your own site.
Yeah.
But I would say, look at the goals that you have. Yeah, I would say every 3 years at least, refresh the site, some new headshots. Freshen up. It doesn't have to be a full brand session, photo session, but maybe just the homepage gets new photos. Look at your service pages or how you present, like if you're a podcaster, how are you, what's that messaging look like? Because back to what Izzy talked about in messaging, has that shifted at all? Or has your tone of voice shifted? So when we went from Robles Designs to Rebel Marketing, some of that did change. And the way we described our business ended up changing. So look at that because everybody evolves. When it comes to the visual side of the website, just give it a once over. Make sure that there's no old images, old flip phones hanging out. That links are not broken. There are certain tools that you can use to find broken links. And check your analytics. Don't be afraid of your numbers. Check where people are coming from because we talked about call to action. Some of them might be working and others might not be working. If you're a podcaster, where are people coming from? Is it from social media? What has been working? What hasn't? So don't be afraid of those numbers. And then use those numbers to make informative decisions on your layout, on your design, what pages you create, what pages you take away, and then hire us.
You're right, exactly. Well, a good example of this, and it's partly a design, is a co-host of mine on another podcast that I do reminded me that we just changed software of our email newsletter that we send out. Well, it was kind of in a test mode for a short amount of time. We weren't quite sure if we were going to go with this or not. So I didn't change any connections or links in, or I should say links to sign up for the newsletter because we weren't quite sure if I was going to go that direction until we did a couple of them, got some feedback. And now we're in, we're going to use this software. And she said, hey, that link doesn't work on the newsletter as well as on the website. I'm going, I got to change that. So it gives us an opportunity to kind of reevaluate where does that link for signing up for the newsletter. Where does it live? Should it live in the same place? But I also need to fix the link to go back to a landing page on that software. So it could be as simple as that, of just maybe snowballing into a little bit of like, we need to put a little bit more prominently. Or it's like, I just have to put the link in there right now on the website so now when our calls to action are there about signing up the newsletter, it's not going anywhere. We can now gather some that are interested in getting the newsletter on a more consistent basis. So we've got the 5 website mistakes. Let's say a listener, you hit number 3, poor mobile experience. Got to get a hold of Rebel Marketing. Yasmin, how can they get a hold of you to fix any of those 5?
You can find us at myrebelmarketing.com. You can also get a free checklist, myrebelmarketing.com/checklist. It's more of a workbook. It comes with videos walking you through the workbook. So hopefully you don't get too overwhelmed. But like any freebie, we want you to be kind of overwhelmed. So then you can contact us on the contact page.
Exactly.
And we can help you out.
Yeah. And if you feel that your website may be costing you, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, costing you listeners and ultimate clients, that sort of thing too, is get a hold of me. We can take a look at your website from the perspective of a podcaster, but also from the perspective that it's your business as well too. And you go to my booking calendar at mypodcastguide.com and I'll bring in Yasmin and Izzy as well. And let's take a look at what you need changed, what needs to be changed, of just a fresh pair of eyes or 3 sets of eyes at what you've created and kind of lead you down a path of going, you should consider this, 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 or this to help out and find out what your goals are as well too. So thanks again for joining you both.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Mm-hmm.